The reading is from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. The branch from Jesse. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the surviving remnant of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the Mediterranean. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A second reading comes this morning from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 15, verses 1 to 13, and you'll find that on 977 of the Pew Bible. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbours for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself. But, as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and, moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. So, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Good morning to you all. I'm Jaden, and I'd like to add my welcome to Katie's and Mark's. It's really good to see you all this morning. I'll be speaking from that second reading, which is Romans chapter 15, 1-13. It's on page 977 of the church Bible, so please do keep that one open in front of you. I recently saw an ad on the TV. It was called Lynette's Tires Save the Planet. It starts with someone talking to a mechanic who had done some repairs on their car. She found a little extra fee on her bill, so she goes, hey, what's that about? The mechanic replies, that is the tire stewardship fee. But make sure your tires end up going where they need to when you're done with them. So she goes, oh, sweet, thanks. But then a look comes across the mechanic's face, and he wells up in tears. He says, no, thank you, mate. Seriously, these tyres could go on to build playgrounds for kids, mate. Roads too, mate. You're stopping millions of tyres from going to landfill, mate. You're saving the whole planet, mate. By this point, the mechanic is crying, sobbing, weeping, and awkward looks are being passed around between the other customers in the shop. The idea that this ad on the TV was promoting is that the little action of paying a small fee on your tyres to have them reused or recycled has the big impact of saving the whole planet. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I want to tell you about another action that might seem small but is actually far, far bigger than you might think. The action I'm talking about is accepting one another. Look with me at Romans chapter 15, verse 7. You'll see there it says, accept one another. If you just want a three-word summary of what I'm going to say this morning, that's about it. Accept one another. And as we look at this part of God's word, we'll see that accepting one another is far, far bigger than we think. It's far more important than we think. We'll see three things. First, that accepting one another is an action. It's not passive, it means doing something. Second, we'll see that accepting one another is what Christ has done for us. And third, we'll see that us accepting one another actually fulfills God's big plan and purpose for humanity. Accepting one another is so much bigger than we think. First, accepting one another is an action, something we do. Look at verse 7 and you'll see those words, accept one another. It's not saying that we just need to sit back and fold our arms and think, oh yeah, I'm okay with so-and-so being here at church with me. I don't really mind that that person comes to the same church as me. I've accepted them. In verse 7, accepting is much bigger than that. This is an action of accepting. It's like receiving or welcoming. Think of going to an airport to pick up someone you love. Maybe you haven't seen this person for a long time. You see them coming and you accept them. You receive them, you welcome them. You're even glad to have them there with you. That's the kind of accepting we're told to do in verse 7. And as we go on through verses 1 to 6, we'll see a few examples of what this is to look like here at church. The first example, accepting one another means bearing with each other. Look at verse 1 that says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. the picture to think of when Paul says, bear with the failings of the weak, is of one person carrying a load for another. You could think of two people out hiking. They're walking up a mountain together with heavy packs on their backs. One of them is strong and they can easily carry their own load and keep walking. But the other one is struggling. They need some help. Paul says the strong one has a responsibility to help the weak. To carry on the illustration, they're not to just charge ahead on their own and leave the other behind. Since they're strong, they can say, let me carry some of those heavy things for you. The strong one is to make sure that both of them get to the top of the mountain together. So that's a picture to think of. One supporting another as needed and as they're able. But how does that play out in the local church? A couple of weeks ago, if you remember, Mark gave an example of not eating bacon sandwiches. In the Roman church, when Paul wrote this letter, there were some Christians who didn't think it was okay to eat pork or bacon. So the Christians who knew that it actually was okay to eat bacon, they weren't to push it on others, because consciences matter. Paul was telling the Christians who knew that it was okay not to eat those meats if it would cause others to struggle or fall into sin by going against their conscience. He said, don't destroy your brother or sister for whom Christ died for the sake of food. For us today, what we choose to eat might not be the issue. Maybe it's something like drinking alcohol, or maybe it's what you watch on TV, or maybe it's what you choose to wear, or maybe it's who you spend time alone with. What would it be for you? The point is, we need to guard against hurting the conscience of someone else. If you think something is okay but someone else doesn't, don't do it around them if it will cause that person to struggle. We might need to change something in our own lives or give something up if it means helping or bearing with another believer for the sake of their conscience. Accepting means not trampling on the conscience of another Christian. Look with me back at verse 1. We are not to please ourselves. Instead, each of us should please our neighbours for their good, to build them up. Again, this isn't a passive accepting, just sitting back. We're to go out of our way to do not what we want, but what's good for others. And particularly to build them up in the faith. One small way to put this building up into practice is when we gather here for church each week. Many of us stay for morning tea afterwards. Could you make an effort to stay for morning tea and find someone to encourage? Not just to talk to your friends, but to intentionally find someone else to talk to and to seek to encourage them in their walk with God, to build them up. Could you maybe even pray with someone after church? I think many people here at Redeemer already do this wonderfully, but it's worth being reminded to be intentional. Maybe a further step would be to try and come a little bit earlier to church. Often there are less people here before church, and it's another chance to go out of our way to try and find opportunities to build others up. Perhaps a bigger step might be to ask someone to catch up with you during the week. Maybe you could look at the Bible with someone one-to-one. Build one another up by looking at the scriptures together, praying with each other, and being invested in one another's lives. If you're not part of a growth group, would you maybe consider joining a growth group? Because that's another opportunity to build others up. There's always to be more invested in the lives of our brothers and sisters here at church. They give us opportunity to do what's being spoken of here in this passage, to accept one another by building others up. What it looks like to try and build others up might be different for each of us. It will depend on our own situation, on our circumstances, and they're different for each of us. But is there some way, is there something you're doing to try and build others up? Because Paul says there ought to be. Even if that means not doing something else that pleases us, even if we have to go out of our way, the aim is to build others up, and that comes before pleasing ourselves. The last thing to notice in this first part about what the action of accepting one another looks like is that it means enduring with each other, being patient with one another. And we can do this with God's help. God's help comes through the scriptures, the Bible, and we see this in verses 4 and 5. So look with me at verse 4. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Then in verse 5, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This says God gives us endurance and encouragement, and he gives them through the scriptures, his word, the Bible, all with the aim of verse 6, that with one mind and one voice, unified, we might glorify God, that together we might make much of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. To do this, we need to be patient. We need to endure with one another. We need to carry on bearing with each other, accepting one another. Carry on building each other up. It might not be easy all the time, but that's the point. He says we're not to please ourselves. So can we endure in the hard work of accepting one another? With God's help through his word, we can. Because God's word not only teaches us to endure, but through it he also gives us the encouragement we need. He encourages us with promises that give us a hope, a certain future to look ahead to, a wonderful eternity with God in his presence. And that hope anchors us. It helps us to keep going. When it's hard, we have a future to look ahead to that helps us to endure. So maybe there's a situation where you have a choice to make. Just for an example, maybe you've just got home from work and you're tired and you're looking forward to a quiet evening. But someone calls, the phone rings, something's gone wrong, and the person calling you needs some encouragement. Maybe they've messed up, fallen into sin, and they need to be reminded of the gospel. And maybe it's not the first time. Maybe it's been an ongoing struggle for this person, and you've been supporting them, encouraging them for a while. Can we be willing to set aside what pleases us, that quiet evening at home, to take the time to go and encourage someone else, to build them up? With the encouragement of the scriptures, yes, we can. God's word gives us what we need. He gives us a certain future hope, the promise of a glorious eternity with him that lies ahead. And with this encouragement, knowing our future is with God, we can endure in bearing with one another, not pleasing ourselves, but pleasing our neighbours for their good, to build them up. So when Paul says in verse 7, accept one another then, I hope we understand that he wants us to be active in accepting one another. He wants us to actually do something, to bear with each other's burdens, to build each other up, and to endure in doing so. And we can do this with the encouragement of the scriptures and the hope they provide. And that brings us to our second point. Now that we've seen what accepting one another means, we'll see that there are two big reasons that we need to accept one another. First, accepting one another is what Christ has done for us. And second, it fulfills God's big purpose and plan for humanity. These points will be quicker, but we know this is important. First, accepting one another is what Christ has done for us. Christ has accepted each one of us at great cost. Jesus has already accepted every person who has put their trust in him. Verse 7 is our summary verse, and it says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. So how has Christ accepted us? Look with me at verse 3. Verse 3 says, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Christ accepted us in a way that meant bearing the insults of humanity that were directed against God. This was a costly acceptance. Ultimately, it meant that he went to the cross and he suffered and he died. And that little linking word at the start of verse 3, for, it tells us that Christ accepting us in this way is one of the reasons why we should do the same for others. Christ bore with us, and now we are to bear with one another in the same way. Christ didn't please himself. What an understatement. Christ didn't please himself. But he came and bore insults in order that he might save us. He accepted us. And now we are told to do the same. Now we are not to please ourselves, but we, in the same way, are to please our neighbours for their good, to build them up. Christ doing these things for us means that we should do them for one another. If you think you're strong in the faith, the only reason your faith means anything is because Christ didn't please himself. He came to save you. He came and bore insults so that you might be made acceptable to God. Jesus went to the cross and died for you. He died the death you deserved, and as you trust in him, he gives you the eternal life with God that only he deserved. But he hasn't just done that for you. He's also done it for all those who trust in him. The strong in faith and the weak in faith, he died for them both. He has made both of them acceptable to God together. And if Christ has accepted our brothers and sisters in the faith, both the weak and the strong, so must we. We can't refuse to accept those whom Christ has accepted. He bore insults for both you and your neighbour. Now you both are drawn into his family, the church. All of this was to bring about verse 6, so that with one mind and one voice, we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Christ has already accepted us all, and we must therefore accept one another. Otherwise, we will be refusing what our Saviour came to accomplish. That takes us to our third and last point. The last point here to really take away is that our accepting one another fulfills God's big plan and purpose for all of humanity. Remember that TV ad from the start? How Lynette paying a small fee on her tires meant saving the whole planet. A small action with a big impact. While your accepting one another is an action that might seem small but is massive in its significance. We see this in verses 8 to 13 of our passage. But our small actions of accepting one another, patiently bearing with each other, and building one another up, are fulfilling God's eternal plan for humanity. His plan to unite a diverse people under grace and for his praise. Look with me at verse 8. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. That is God's plan. Jews and Gentiles, that's all the other nations and peoples brought together. Both of them brought together as one people for God's praise. Christ fulfills the promises of God made to the fathers of the Jews, and he also gives mercy to everyone else, so that we all might praise God. And verses 9 to 12 show us that this was God's plan all along. See these four Old Testament quotations, the words God's given. Verse 9 says, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. That's King David, one of the people who had received God's promises, He says he will sing praise to God in the midst of the people who hadn't received the promises. He'll be praising God together with them, with us. And again, verse 10 says, "Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people." That's Moses saying, those who weren't the physical children of Abraham, those who weren't the natural heirs of the promises God gave, will get to rejoice alongside those who were the natural heirs, as they too receive the same mercy. Thanks be to God that through Christ, we have received that mercy. And again, verse 11 says, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him." God's plan is that the whole world would praise him together as one. Let's do it. Let's praise him together. And again, in verse 12, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. And him the Gentiles will hope." Jesus, who is that promised root of Jesse, came not just for the Jewish people. He came for the whole world. Jesus came to give hope to all people, all nations, as they trust in him. Thanks be to God that we can all hope in him. See, this was God's plan from the very beginning. To have a diverse people from all nations and all backgrounds given the same hope of the gospel. The sure hope of acceptance by God. The sure hope of an eternal future with God. God's plan was that a diverse people would be brought together by grace as one people to praise him. And that is what the church is. The church is the unified people of God, a people given hope, a people brought together to be one and to praise God. So let's do that. Let's be who we are, the one unified people of God. Let's praise God together because he's accepted all of us. Let's accept one another just as Christ accepted us in order to bring praise to God. Because Christ has accepted us, let's build each other patiently. Let's go out of our way to build each other up. Let's endure with each other. Because God's plan and praise are more important than whatever we might want to do to please ourselves. Look down and see that prayer in verse 13. It says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." That is how we will be able to accept one another. As verse 13 says, as we trust in God, trust in his promises, and be filled with all joy and peace by him, the God of hope. May we overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This great hope given by God will enable us to accept one another. We must do it because Christ has accepted us. And because as we accept one another, we know that we are fulfilling God's great plan for humanity. We are being drawn together as one diverse people for God's praise. So let me conclude by praying the prayer of verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.